All right. Now, just so there's no misunderstanding, I'm not going to be like Muhammad Ali here fighting for the United States or Sugar Ray Leonard or anything like that. But how many of you have ever gone into prayer time thinking, I'm just going to spend a little time with the Lord and talk to Him and get right with Him and really have a good discussion, but then by the time you're done talking with Jesus, you feel a little beat up? Has anybody ever done that before? Go ahead, raise your hand, admit it. You're among friends. We love you. Okay? You can do that. You know, I've done that. I've gone into talking with God, and then it just kind of seems like a boxing match. Sometimes at the end of it, you feel more beat up than blessed. You go into it thinking that, you know, you should feel better about your time with Jesus, but then because of the way your mind wanders and you don't stay as focused as you'd like to, you kind of walk away going, you are just so pitiful. Am I preaching to myself here today, or has anybody been like that? Okay. So it kind of goes like this. Well, you might start off and you go, dear God, thank you for this day. And then it gets you to thinking, man, I got a lot going on today. I got a really busy schedule. I've got a dentist appointment. I've got a meeting this afternoon. I've got to take my kids to the dentist. I've got all this other, you know, all these things going on. And the next thing you know, you're just like, God, what's it? Oh, man, get focused. Yeah, stay with me, okay? Let's, all right, here we go. Okay, God, sorry about that, Lord. God, I'm grateful for all the blessings that I have in my life. Thank you for blessing me with so much. But this gets you to thinking, you know what, God, I know you bless me, but why do you always seem to bless the guy who never seems to be doing your will, but I'm always trying to do what you want me to do? And John got a promotion that I should have gotten, and we all know that John takes two-hour lunches, and I never do that. I'm always here on time. And then you think, God, focus. Anybody been there with me? Or God, hey, now I know some of you are sitting out there going, boy, I'd like to have a whack at that. God, bless the missionaries in Papua New Guinea. Papa John, sir, sounds good right now. Man, that, wow, I just love their sausage pizza with the cheese and the, you know, and the crust is so good that you get extra cheese so you can use the crust as a breadstick, you know, and it's just real, I can't wait. And you're kind of like, God, all right, focus. Has anybody been there? Anybody with me on that? All right, I think I gave myself a concussion on that last one. That one was a little bit harder than I intended. But we kind of feel like, you know, we enter in with good intentions, but we have a hard time staying focused. Last week, we talked about how if we want to grow in our relationship with Jesus, if we want to grow toward discipleship, then we need to grow in our relationship with the Lord. And there are some disciplines that we can do in order to do that. And that's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about staying focused when we are talking with the Lord or when we are in our Bible study. If there's anyone who's out there watching online or anybody that's in the service here today, if you have a hard time staying focused in your quiet time with the Lord, then hopefully this message will resonate with you today. I think most of us want to talk to God. I think most of us want to pray. Want to is not the issue.
Is this awkward for anybody? Okay. We just don't know how to sometimes. Has anybody been there? Has anybody ever just been like, you know, you're in your quiet time and your mind just starts to wander, and the next thing you know, you are so far away from where you started and you're not even talking to God anymore. You're just thinking about different things that are going going on. And I want you to understand that God wants to talk to you. Last week we said that we need to understand that God wants you to grow to spiritual maturity. He loves you just the way that you are, but He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to grow, just like you want your children to grow, just like when your children are born, you don't want them to stay the way that they are for their entire lives. God wants you to grow. And as we look through the Bible, we see all kinds of different situations where people of God, great examples of godly people that grew in their faith, and there were two main disciplines that jump out as we look at their lives, and those two main disciplines are prayer and Bible study. If you want to grow in your relationship, if you want to grow toward discipleship, I'm just going to say this. You cannot do it without prayer and Bible study. You cannot do it without talking to God and reading His Word. And while this can take place here, this can take place on a Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, that's great, you get some of that, but if that's all you're getting,
it's not enough. Okay? If you're only eating one day a week, how many of you just eat one day a week, physical food, just one day a week? How many of you do that? None of us do that, okay? And so you can't expect to grow in your walk with Jesus if you're only getting spiritually fed one day a week. So you have to do that every single day. And we can do it in community, but there's something powerful when you start, when you take the initiative and you start to pray and you start to read the Bible on your own. There's something very powerful when it's you and God and His Word. Check out these characters in the Bible who practiced these disciplines that we read about as great examples of the faith. Genesis 19:27. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. So Abraham, it was a common practice. Daniel, chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Acts chapter 10, verse 9, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Mark 1:35, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Obviously, these people that we read about in the Bible, and so many other people that we would label as heroes of the faith over the last 2,000 years, have found spending time alone with God as something that something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do, guys. You see, there has to be a shift that takes place there. Instead of looking at this as something that we just check off of our list, we get to spend time with the Creator of the universe. But a lot of times we approach it as something we just, we have to do it. It's something we check off our list, but not really something that we look forward to. I don't know, if you grew up in church, probably you've heard of a quiet time. How many of you heard that? You know, a quiet time. You need to have a quiet time growing up. And I'm not talking about the quiet time like my mom used to say, Ronnie, you go sit in the corner and be quiet until I tell you to get up. I'm not talking about that kind of quiet time. Actually, that never happened. I just got a beating. There was no quiet time for me. All right, there was no timeout. It was something that was not mentioned in our house. But a quiet time I'm talking about is a time where you get away with God, just you and Him, and you do your best to get close to Him. No one did this, no one modeled this better than Jesus Himself. The most difficult time in His life. He's about to go to the cross and have all of the sins of the entire world placed upon Him. And He's about to give His life as a sacrifice for us. And all of hell's fury was thrown at Him. And He knew that God was going to forsake Him. He was going to abandon Him, turn His back on Him, because God can't stand the sight of sin. So He had to turn away. He couldn't even look at His own Son. And Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is what He said, Father, if You're willing,
Take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And then it says, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This is a great example of us. And here's for us, here's what happens when we spend time alone with God. And this is what Jesus modeled for us, and this is what He did on a regular basis, that if we want to be like Him, if we want to grow toward discipleship, we've got to start implementing these things. Time with God drains me of my own weakness and fills me with God's strength. If you're taking notes, we put some outlines at the end of each table. And if you're taking notes, you can grab one of those and you can start filling that out. You don't have to, but if you want to take these things home with you and understand a little better day to day what I'm talking about, understand that time with God drains me of my weakness and fills me with God's strength. And time with God drains me of my own will and fills me with God's will. And time with God drains me of me and fills me with God. How many of you would agree with me that we need to drain ourselves of ourselves a little more often and start thinking less about ourselves, start thinking more about others, and start thinking more about what God wants to do through my life? That's when we're going to see some different things happen in this world and in our lives. So today I want to get really, really practical with you on how to overcome this problem of our minds wandering all over the place when we're trying to be in our quiet time with God. Listen to what Joshua 1:8 says. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We are promised by God that if we meditate on His Word, we will be prosperous and we will be successful. Now, don't misinterpret this to mean that you're going to be financially prosperous. This is not a prosperity gospel proof text. What this means is we will prosper in our relationship with God, we will prosper with others, and we will be successful in the areas that God wants us to be successful in. Now, this doesn't necessarily mean financial blessings, but it could mean that. Okay? That could be part of it, but that's not necessarily always the case. In a moment, I'm going to share an acronym with you that I think it's a great place to start. In fact, I talked with someone just this week, good friend, who said, you know, ask me some advice. I want to start studying the Bible more. What can I do? What do I need to do to start studying the Bible more? And so this is something that hopefully he's watching today and he gets this. But before we get to the acronym, I encourage you, when you sit down with your Bible, don't just sit down and start reading. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down some things that God reveals to you. Because the difference between reading and studying the Bible, I think, is taking some notes and writing some things down while you're studying the Word. Joshua says, meditate on His Word. Okay? Read it, write it down. There's Bible apps that you can go to that you can punch in the Scripture and it'll even read it to you. So allow them to read it to you. You follow along. So you hear it, you're reading it yourself, you're going to retain it even more. Pause, write some things down. Get a Bible reading plan, okay? That's one thing that you need to do. Get a Bible reading plan. I should have brought them down here. In fact, Kendall, would you mind running over that? You don't have to do it now, but before the end of the service, run over and grab those Bible reading plans so people could grab one today and start reading the Word of God. Just get a plan. So many people wake up every day, they don't even have a plan. You know? Start reading. I don't necessarily... Now, a lot of people like to do this. A lot of people like to just open the Bible and they'll pray before they're, God, show me where you want me to... Boom, like, and they start reading. And that can work. That can be effective. I think God has worked through that at different times. But I think it's much better to have a plan. If we just skip around from place to place, we're going to miss some things that I think God is trying to say us. So use the acronym. Here's the acronym. The acronym is SOAP. Okay? SOAP. Remember this. SOAP. This might be hard for some of you junior hires out there. But SOAP. Okay? This helps you get started. As you begin your quiet time, write the date at the top of the page, write the passage of Scripture that you're getting ready to read, and then start with the letter S, and this S stands for Scripture. Write down the passage of Scripture that you're going to read. For instance, if you're going to read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, write that down, Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and then the O stands for observation. As you read this passage of Scripture, start writing down some things that you have just observed. The observations don't need to be really deep. They don't need to be earth-shattering. Just include some things that just kind of jump off the page at you, some things that sticks out to you. For example, Ephesians 2:1 says that at one time we were all dead. Doesn't that kind of resonate with you a little bit? Write that down. We were all dead in our transgressions. Write that down. Verse 5 it says, but God made us alive in Christ. Write that down too. And there's no rule as to how many observations you make. Some passages of Scripture you might have 10 or 15 observations. Some of them you might just have 2. But write down those observations, okay? That's the O. And then the letter A, that stands for application. That simply means, what are you going to do about what you just read? You see, the Bible is not just about information. The Bible is about transformation. It's not so much about going through the book of Ephesians, but allowing the book of Ephesians to go through you. Because there's a big difference. For example, you could write something down like, because Christ raised me from death to life spiritually, I'm going to thank God for doing that. Or I'm going to tell someone about what I've learned today. Or I'm going to pray for a friend I know who doesn't know Jesus Christ yet. Be specific about the application. Don't just say, well, you know what? I'm gonna be more loving. That's way too general. Write something down specifically that you're going to do. And then the P, after application, the P stands for prayer. We want to respond to what we just learned from God by talking to Him about it. Just talk to Him about it. You ever notice that the disciples never asked Jesus, Lord, would you teach us how to do a miracle? They never asked that. Lord, would you teach us how to share our faith? They never asked that. What did they say? Lord, teach us to pray. And here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Did you know that there are ways to pray poorly? Do you know that? I've been guilty of that. There's a lot of times in my life I have prayed poorly. A lot of times my prayers have just been a wish list of things that I want God to bless me with. Anybody with me on that? Has anybody ever done that? Lord, give me this. Lord, bless me with this. Lord, I want that. Lord, please take that away. Lord, please make this come my way. We do this kind of thing. That's a poor way of praying. Jesus said, this is how you should pray. I mentioned a few months ago in a sermon I preached on the Lord's Prayer. Notice that Jesus didn't say, this is what you pray. He said, this is how you should pray. It was never God's intention to just give us a script to follow and say the exact words that He wants us to say in the Lord's Prayer. That would go against what He just said earlier about repeating words and phrases that have lost their meaning like the pagans do. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. It's important to start your prayer time with praise. Praise the Lord for who He is. Praise the Lord for what He's done. Those are the two primary things that we can praise God for. Praise through adoration, just because He's God. And pray thanksgiving prayers, praising God for what He has done. If God truly is the one who's sitting on the throne and you're talking to Him, shouldn't your conversation start with Him instead of starting with you? Because a lot of times that's what I've done. I start with me a lot of times, way too often, instead of saying, God, You are worthy. You are worthy of my praise. Not just because of what You've done for me, but because of who You are. God, I've just read some Scripture. Praise You, God, for what You just said to me in Scripture. Start your time by raising Him up. And then Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Commit yourself to doing God's will. Place your focus on God's purposes for your life. So the first thing is praise. The second thing is purposes. God's purposes, not your own. As I said before, we're all too guilty sometimes of just wanting the things that we want for our purposes, and we don't even care what God wants. This is a great time to pray for God's will to be done in your family. It's a great time to pray for God's will to be done in your church. For God's will to be done in your work. In your neighborhood. In your city. In your nation. In the world. We never say it out loud, but it's really easy to live like my kingdom come instead of Thy kingdom come, isn't it? That's what we want. This is a time that you remind God and remind yourself as well that it's not about God joining you. You ever notice that? We want God to join us in our plans that we have, and we fail to understand that God is saying, listen, I've got a plan and I want you to join me. There's a big difference. God cares deeply about us, but He wants us to join Him in His mission for our lives. You ever notice that in the first two verses, the word your is mentioned three times? The word my is not mentioned once. That tells me it's all about God and it's nothing about us. Okay? And then, give us today our daily bread. The next part of the prayer time is asking God for provision. That's the next P on your outline. As I think through my schedule for the day, and I lift everything up that I have to do on my to-do list, every meeting that I might have on my calendar, every appointment that I might have, make your prayers specific about everything you've got to do that day. Okay? If you just run through your day, at the beginning of your day, and you say, God, would You please bless the staff meeting that we're going to have? God, would You please bless this meeting that I'm going to have with this person this afternoon? God, this encounter that I'm going to have this afternoon, would You please bless that and show me Your will in each of these things that I'm supposed to do? Pray for specific things to happen. If we just say, God bless my day, I believe that God will bless your day. He's capable of doing that. But we might not recognize it. You know? We might not recognize some of those coincidental things that happen in our lives as God's blessings. But if we specifically say, God, the guy that I'm meeting with this afternoon, if he doesn't know Jesus, would You open a door for me to share Jesus with him? And then when that door opens, it's very evident that God has answered that specific prayer, and you praise God for being active and showing you the things that you've asked Him to see, or that you've asked Him to show you. You know? As I'm working on a message for Sunday morning, I'll pray, God, just let something jump out at me this week that can help me to get my point across. And this week, I thought it was the boxing glove. That hurt. That wasn't a very good one. But hopefully you'll remember that and it'll stick with you. So that's our little sacrifice this week. But seriously, God, show me something. Give me an idea. Let something just leap off the page in Scripture that I can share with Your people that's going to help them draw closer to You and live right. And when that happens, I praise God and I take a moment to thank Him for showing that to me. Forgive us our debts. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. That's pardon. That's the next P. Pardon. Think through the last 24 hours. Ask God to reveal to you any of the things that you might have done that you need to repent of. Great verse is Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Nothing combats pride in my life better than confessing my sins to God. It shows me just how human and short I fall of His glory. You know, just when I think I've finally figured out this whole Christian thing, God reminds me, boy, you got a ways to go. This practice of confession also makes us a more patient person. How many of you need more patience? Just be honest. Okay, very good. Be careful praying for that. Just I'll let you know that as well, because that's not always, the results of that can be a little difficult. But when I realize how patient God is with me, and how I realize I keep struggling with some of the same stupid things, I'm more likely to show grace to other people when I know how much He has shown grace to me. When I realize how patient God is with me, that shows me that I need to be more patient with some of the people that I have in my life. And then we have to forgive our debtors. You know, pray for other people. Genuinely do that. You ever promise to pray for someone? Oh yeah, I'll pray for you. And then you didn't do it. Man, I've been guilty of this way too many times. And I think that's why it's important to make a list of people that you want to pray for. You know, family members, Christian friends, leaders at your church, friends that you'd like to see come to know Jesus Christ. How about praying for our president, our vice president, our senators, our representatives, our Supreme Court justices? How about praying for the men and women in blue? How about praying for those hurting from racial inequalities? How about praying for our military? You know what? When you start making a list of people who need prayed for, you find out that spending time with God really, you can lose track of time in a hurry, can't you? When you really start making a list of people, and then all of a sudden, you know, you don't have the boxing glove and you're not beating yourself up against the head because your mind is wandering. You've got plenty to pray about. You got plenty to pray for. And lead us not into temptation. That's spiritual protection. When God wants to build, Satan wants to tear down. And so we need to pray for protection. That's the final P in the outline there. Satan wants to destroy you. And the more you read God's Word and the more you pray, the more Satan is going to see you as a threat. And the more he's going to try to attack you, the more he's going to try to discourage you, and the more he's going to try to make you give up. I was sharing with some friends yesterday that I don't know if there's ever been a time in my life where I have been at odds with more people than I am right now. And I said, I must be doing something right. Because Satan is rearing his head in different areas. It's just kind of surprising sometimes, you know? That's the way he works. He's trying to use those old tricks to get you off track, to get your focus off of Jesus. And as the old saying goes, if he can't tempt you with something bad, he'll trick you with busyness. So you need to pray for God's protection on your life and those close to you. This is obviously only one way to pray. There's all sorts of ways to pray. But I'm just going to say, if you commit to praying like this for the next couple of weeks, If you commit every day for the next couple of weeks that every day you are going to walk through these six different parts of prayer every single day, my guess is you're going to be amazed at how quickly the time flies in your quiet time with the Lord, and you're going to start seeing quiet time with God not as something that you have to endure, not as something that exhausts you, but something that energizes you. And I'm going to get extra practical with you here as we close today. I'm going to ask our worship team to go ahead and come on up. Here's a couple of things very quickly. If you're going to start living out the daily habits of Bible study and prayer, here's the first thing you need to decide. You need to select a time. Best time to spend time with God is when you are at your best. We look at Scripture and we see a lot of people went out in the morning. I just got to be honest with you, morning is not my best. Okay? I don't always spend time with God in the morning. I generally work it in the afternoon. A lot of times right after lunch works best for me. I'm not a morning person. If it was up to me, and it's not, if it were up to me, we'd have church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because that's when I'm really starting to hit my stride. Can I get an amen to that? Okay, two of you. That's awesome. See you next week at 10. All right. But seriously, when you're at your best, if you're a morning person, do it in the morning. If you're at your best in the afternoon, do it in the afternoon. If you're one of those night owls, do it at night. But I will warn you, the longer the day goes and the more you put it off, the easier it is to let things get in the way of you spending time with the Lord. So take those things into consideration, but select a time and then select a place. Select a place. In the opening passage we read about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, listen to how it starts. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. Underline those words, as usual, or circle that on your outline. This wasn't the first time Jesus went to the garden to pray. It was His place. You seen the movie War Room? That's a great movie. If you haven't seen it, watch that. She had her own room in that, and it was powerful. Let me recommend that you select a place. Maybe it's a room in your house. Maybe it's an office. Some place that you can be free from distraction and spend time with God in silence. Just to make sure we're on the same page. Your living room with Sports Center or Chip and Joanne in the background is not the best place to do it, okay? No distractions. Get into the Word. Nothing around you where you can immerse yourself into God's Word and talking to Him. Okay? I know that as I look around the room, as I look at people who might be watching online, we're all at different places in our journey, in our walk. So, wherever you're at, would you commit to growing, to doing better? For some of you, I'm preaching to the choir. For some of you, you're sitting out there going, yep, I do that, yep, I do that. Boom, boom, boom. You're checking it off and it's great and that's awesome. But I'm going to guess that there are some who are here that might have a little bit of dust piled up on their Bible, and some over here who open their Bibles every day and get in time, get in the Word, spend the time with God, and we've got everyone in between. Everybody's at different levels. But here's my challenge for you as we close. For the next several weeks, let's just say a month, for the next month, month of July, would you test this thing out? Would you commit to it? Psalm 34:8, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you just went through the Bible reading plan, I saw Kendall got those out for you. They're there by the offering boxes, I believe. Is that where you put them, Kendall? They're by the offering boxes. Get a Bible reading plan and commit to it. I think you'll be blown away with all that God wants to do in your life. Nothing else will come closer to helping you. I know it's been the case for me. Nothing else will help you draw closer to God than prayer and Bible study. And as your preacher, if I could get you to add just one habit to your life, this is it. This is it. Prayer and Bible study. Maybe some of you are here today and you've never made that commitment. I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you want to make that commitment this morning to allow God to enter into your life through confession and repentance and baptism into Him, would you come? I'm going to ask Kendall to make his way down toward the front to meet you at the front if you have a need this morning. Maybe you just need prayed with, prayed for. You want to come to the front for that? I would love for everyone in this room to just spend some time talking to God now as we sing this song and as we pray. To commit to Him. Lord, I'm going to read. I'm going to get into Your Word. I'm going to grab one of those Bible reading plans. I'm going to find one online. And I'm going to get into the Word every day. And I'm going to pray. And I'm going to pray for those six different things. Those things in the Lord's Prayer. I'm going to use that as an outline to pray for the people in my life. Would you commit to that today? Let's pray together. Father, I thank You. For wanting to communicate with us. I thank You for wanting to share with us Your will for our lives. And I pray that we would just take the time to commit to listening to You and talking with You. In Jesus' name, amen.